All right, thank you. Yes, we are called to order at 3:08.
We have an agenda.
I move to approve the agenda.
Do we have a second?
Actually, if we could modify that agenda.
We're going to change action item A.
Yeah, sorry.
It's okay.
To an information item as opposed to an action item.
Okay, great. So I have a motion for that. Who was my second?
I'll second.
Okay, great, Beth. And because we are
discussion about the agenda.
Go ahead. Was there any discussion? Okay.
I don't think there is. We're going to vote. All in favor?
Well, actually, because we are on a distance meeting, I have to do it by roll call, meaning I have to call everybody's name on every single item. That's a lot of fun. And again, in between talking, if we could mute, just because it gives a lot of feedback, okay? So you have to unmute when I say your name, please, and let me know if you are in favor of approving the agenda. Bert?
Aye.
Ellard?
Aye.
Phelan?
Aye.
Trainer?
Aye.
Awesome. Thank you. Motion carried.
Okay. Item number 3, approval of the minutes from our November 19th meeting.
I move that we approve.
Okay.
I'll second.
Thank you.
Is there any discussion?
Okay. Call for the vote then. Bert?
Aye.
Ellard?
Aye.
Phelan?
Aye.
Trainer?
Aye.
Thank you. Motion carried.
All right. I don't see anyone else joining the call.
Nope.
Opportunity for public comments.
Correct. No public comments were submitted to me in advance, and Amy always monitors our chat, but we don't see anybody else on the line.
There are no public comments on the chat.
Okay.
All right. Perfect. Then let's jump into the superintendent's report, item number 5.
So,
hi, you get your favorite assistant superintendent today. I just steam myself. Things are going well as far as, getting through, the ups and downs of what has been happening throughout 2020. So just a little bit of a report to kind of, I know it's all in your report, but I want to update you guys on a few things. Kathleen is sending out a letter to all the staff, just updating them because our original opening date was supposed to be January 11th. And of course, that has now been pushed back yet again. And so, just letting people know that, that's been pushed back and we're at the whim of the state of California. Of course, Vista and Orange County are already open, so they can remain open. They have half the students there, and then they rotate the other half in. So those centers can remain open. The rest of the centers are going to remain closed. What we are going to start doing after the Christmas break is working with students at centers who are significantly struggling. So in some cases, these are special ed kiddos. In some cases, there are socioeconomically disadvantaged kids. English learners, things like that. So that will be on kind of a one-to-one basis at the centers to kind of open that up to make sure that the kids that are really not doing well on distance learning get as much support and as much wraparound support as needed. Our counseling department is doing an amazing job. Each counselor, and Natalie, I'll get a link for you to send to this board, has like a room, a virtual classroom, but the way they, I don't know what program they use, but the way they did it is amazing. It's like you open it and the counselor's sitting at the desk, like a little Bitmoji of the counselor, and then you click on all the resources. They're extremely busy. Of course, our mental health department, which is overseeing, Debbie Daniel oversees quite a few things, but she oversees mental health as well. Jeremy Warren is the new senior director there, so we have upgraded that department significantly. We were going to do that anyway pre-COVID, so this is just a happy accident. As with quite a few things going on in Springs, we're already had the infrastructure for distance learning, and now we're distance learning. So Jeremy's doing a great job with that staff. Of course, mental health being a high priority. A very busy staff on top of an already busy staff with the school psychologists and things such as that. We just had an awesome roundtable meeting, which is about 50 of us. It's pretty much all of leadership type people that we had today. We have that quarterly. And one of the principals shared that, you know, he has a couple students that are just MIA. So he went knocking on their door. And a lot of principals are doing that kind of thing, send somebody knocking. And, of course, the parent was in a pretty bad place, and this principal didn't quite know what to do about that at that moment. It was pretty difficult. So gave the student's name to Jeremy and team. They've reached out to family, giving them, you know, all the support and wraparound services they need because they basically just went missing in action on us. And so, you know, it's real, and I don't want to be Debbie Downer, but, you know, it's real what's going on with people out there, and it's not just about school and academic achievement, of course. You know, so the counselors and the mental health services and all the people, you know, a lot of people, you know, we have the ACEs doing, we have the ACEs in the academies doing small group instruction, so... you know, in many cases, these kids are seeing not only their teacher, but the ACE. Sorry. Working from home and being an animal rescuer is definitely, you know, a difficult task. So things are going really well. We had a fantastic visit from the CDE, our authorizer for Vista Springs. Craig is our liaison. He's wonderful. He did a virtual visit for Vista Springs for our annual, you know, check-in. Sarah had him set up so he could go into any classroom. And he's a big, bald guy. So he just popped in the classroom, and, of course, the kids are like, "Hey, Miss Smith, who's the bald guy?" You know, kids being kids, right? It was so cute. But he popped into to 12 different classes. He popped into a counselor session that was a small group, like a friendship group type of thing. And he just had a list, a myriad of things that he loved about our school, and writing down ideas on how we're doing things so he can share with other schools. And so anyway, it was a great visit. Another good piece of news is Citrus Springs got renewed. I don't know if that was shared with you. So that was a unanimous vote at Orange County Department of Ed. It was very odd. Kathleen and I went in person, and you were assigned a seat 8 feet distanced. And every time somebody talked to the microphone, a guy would run up and clean it. And anyway, just super, super strange. I mean, totally understandable they have to do those things. And Orange County Department of Ed just does an awesome job, and they're so professional. So unanimous vote there. So that is 5 more years for Orange County for Citrus. And actually, tomorrow night is our public hearing virtually for at San Diego County Office of Ed for the renewal of Pacific Springs, because we only received 3 years the first time. So if it feels like it's come up fast, that's because we only received 3 years. Of course, we meet with staff during the process, and everything's going great. They just ask for clarification. So, you know, you never know what's going to happen with the boards, but things are going in the right direction. And we do have a new board member getting seated at San Diego County Office at the day of our vote, but he will not be seated tomorrow for our public hearing. So we have reached out to him personally. Natalie, Kathleen, we kind of got together a little list. We sent him videos of our staff. We sent him the Charles Coomber video saying this is one of your teachers that made national news, and to try to introduce him to spring. So if he does feel inclined to vote in January for our actual petition, even though he missed December, he'll know who we are. So anyway, I think that's about it. I mean, staff is tired. I got to tell you guys, just like you guys are, you know, people have kids at home and trying to school them and all that. But overall, couldn't be more proud. I mean, people are really, really doing some great things out there and being so creative and inventive. You know, not only the teachers, but like I said, the administrators. I mean, who knew that, you know, we were going to have to make house calls at some point. But, you know, CPS calls are way down. 60% of CPS calls are usually teachers, and so without teachers reporting, we have some significant concerns with making sure that the kids are okay out there. And And but overall, I mean, I would say that our light is shining bright for Springs, you know, as far as helping other charters and even I was on with our COE for quite a long time back in May, giving them a litany of ideas that they could share with districts on how to actually do this. So we don't care who we help because we want all the kids to get what they need, right? Even if they don't choose us. And our wait list is currently at 4,000 students across the network. And so for the first time in ever, we are probably going to have a lottery for every charter this year unless they completely open up funding, which would be awesome. They're supposed to. The Hold Harmless is supposed to sunset at the end of this year so that funding will fully open and be back to normal. But once, you know, things kind of go down this road, it's hard to make it not happen again, particularly with the political climate. So if funding completely opens, we might still have to lottery in some schools because we just wouldn't be able to get enough yeses or whatever. The other thing is we're pretty sure that you know, a lot of these parents were kind of cleaning up the wait list now that things have settled down to see if they still really do want to switch schools or if they were just kind of panicking and things like that. So you might be hearing about lottery. And every school's charter is slightly different, not on purpose. We just really didn't pay attention to lottery. So every charter's lottery might be slightly different because they're written differently in each of the charters. Slightly different. So that's good news. I mean, you know, the bad news is small because you know all of us on this call and Kathleen want to take every kid, right? So waitlisting is not our big, like a lot of schools gloat about their waitlist. So we have waitlist of this, we have waitlist of that. We've never been that school. We want all the children. But here we are now. So just letting you guys know that this spring might look a little bit different.
Oh, Pam. I'm just curious, Amy, and this may not be at all applicable, but in the past, we used to borrow money in order to fund our schooling, and we certainly don't want to have to go back to that, but would that even be a possibility to be able to take students that way versus a lottery, or is the lottery what the state is kind of mandating us to do?
So, because we would have not enough seats for all the waitlisted students, we would have to lottery. In order to get funding, what it's actually called is a RAN, which stands for Revenue Anticipation Note. And the problem with a RAN at this point is there is no anticipated revenue. And so there's no money to borrow from. Like, so normally we'd get a RAN, it would cover a cash flow gap, right? Like, we need $5 million between now and May, but we're going to pay back the $5 million in May when we get this huge thing of money. So Tanya's actually working on RANs and short-term funding because we're in that situation anyway, because on top of the state doing the Hold Harmless, they also deferred 3 months of payments to us. So we still have to make payroll and pay the electricity and all that, but we won't be getting any revenue. So she's working on that. But as far as taking more students, we took 900 ADA, you know, or students. So that's about 970 students more than we had last year because we had already promised them a seat. And we found out about this on June 28th, and we had already promised those kids a seat. And we said, well, what do we do? And the state's advice was, well, you just tell them they don't have a seat. And we're like, we are not doing that ever. And so we took the kids. And we're serving the kids, but our budget is really, really, really tight. And we've had to do, you know, a few layoffs and some restructuring and some cutting of instructional funds for the year, which hopefully we'll be able to get back next year. Because we found out the Home Harmless when we're already 4 months into enrolling, because we don't start enrolling in August. We start enrolling the March before, right? So we're already serving 900 over. And doing it well, I think, and we'll see. So, good question, though. Because, yeah, if you could borrow money today to serve students and pay it back tomorrow, the problem is we don't know when tomorrow is the actual issue. So,
we're in a little bit of limbo.
You also don't actually know if there is a tomorrow, right? Like,
correct.
They could just keep rolling it. Whereas the previous time we ran through this, they were like, we're just deferring. We're broke. We don't have any money. We're going to give it to you next year. Okay, wait, next year. Okay, wait, next year. And so you had some reasonable expectation. Now they could just keep rolling this hold harmless, and then there's no money ever coming to pay this back. The question that I have is, and I assume Carl's still associated with us, yes?
Oh, absolutely.
Is Carl in, or your team, or someone, like, so we have a 2008 coming, right? Like, that's just reality. When you can't have the state of California basically closed for a year and expect revenues at the state to stay the same and for them to have money to pay all the services that they're expecting to pay. So there's going to be money, there's going to be shortfalls coming from the state of California, whether that's going to be in underfunding or deferring like they've already started. Like, do we have like a, are we considering that? I guess like the question is how far down that road are we going, or are we just kicking the can and waiting until we get closer to something else popping off?
Well, both, actually. Very good question. So the first thing we've done this year is we have done a considerable amount of, restructuring, layoffs, and not rehiring of positions. So as people leave, we're not replacing them because that's, like, the best way, right? So that is to save this year's budget with not only with the whole harmless, the serving 900 more students and a little less money coming from the state. You hear them tell the story right now. Next year we'll be fully funded, and we're going to get one-time money. So that's what we're hearing now. Let me tell you, not a one of us is counting on that, right? Because we're with you, Tim. And one-time money is good. Any money is good, right? But one-time money cannot pay for staff, but it can pay for Chromebooks. It can pay for books. It can pay for art supplies. All those things. So we are cautiously optimistic that some of that will turn out to be true. Of course, the best thing would be for us to go back to the funding levels and for us to get paid for the kids we're serving and not the districts getting the money for the kids we're educating, right? So if those two things happen, we'll feel pretty good. If there's any one-time money on top of it, that's great. Let me say, though, that Carl and Tanya are looking at every angle. For sure, because we're with you. Like, reasonably, we just can't imagine that this is going to all work out, plus with one-time money on top of it.
Yeah, there's, I mean, the theory is, and what Newsom is banking on, is that Biden becomes president, and then Biden bails out the states that have been mismanaged.
Right.
With federal funds. I think the lady at the LA County Office of Ed said, we can't print money, but the federal government can. Very unwise things to say, or ignorant, I guess, is the better way of saying it. But, like, I think that that's what, if you looked at, like, Newsom and at the Board of Education at the state level, that's what they're banking on, is that there's going to be this just golden parachute coming from the federal government that may or may not come.
100% agree, and it's basically what we're trying to do is stay on top of it all, and with so many things up in the air, including the presidential election, we'll have to wait and see. But yeah, Carl's still contracted with us, and he's actually technically not with DMS anymore. He sold the company to his employees, but he has his own little company, and he only works with a couple of schools now, and we are one of them. So. Definitely still have him on board for that super high-level stuff. And also, bombs and rams and all those things. So, yeah, your guess is as good as mine, you guys. I'm the hold harmless. If the hold harmless went another year, that would be, one of the most difficult things. Because we would not only not be able to bring in new students, but we wouldn't replace those first 900. And you know us, we want to serve all the children, so fingers crossed.
Amy, and I know I should say this for the forward comments, but you guys are amazing, so I'm just always so proud of everything you've accomplished. My question, and this is just a general question,
what's the protocol for centers that there's a case? I know because of HIPAA, right? You can't. So are teachers notified or parents? Just kind of a very broad, kind of walk me through like what that protocol is.
Right. So if we're notified, we notify people that there has been an outbreak if they had contact with the center. So all of our sites, everywhere is sign in, sign out, and we're basically, so when I go to the plaza, I have to write that I went to the second floor because that's where my office is, so on and so forth. So through contact tracing, we let the people know that there has been a positive test. If they were in, you know, in contact, of course we can't use names or do anything like that. And we have had a couple sites, you know, open and close, and we're really good at having the people come in and do all the disinfecting and all that now. But I want to knock on wood, we've been doing pretty well. I mean, a lot of cases coming out, but like the last two, the people haven't been at work since March 13th. You know, they got it from a family member or someone like that. So we have it, but yeah, all contact tracing is in place. Debbie Daniels got us all signing in and signing out and doing all the things. Plus we have badges everywhere. So if there's ever a question, we know which badge was used when and where. So I think we're pretty good on that, but, yeah, it's pretty tricky. And for luckily Vista and Orange County, which are open to students, we have been very lucky. We've done a very good job, let me say. It's about luck. All PPE in place and everything. So doing a good job out there.
Good. Thank you.
Do we have any other questions for Amy? Then we are going to move on to item number 6. Thank you so much, Amy, for coming, taking time out of your busy rescuing of animals day. And
you want some? I've got. You want a horse?
A horse? I barely have a 7-pound cat.
No, I rescue horses. A horse for everyone for Christmas. A pony. No?
I was just going to do fudge, Amy. You're making me look bad.
Oh, by the way, check your mailboxes. Speaking of chocolate, Pam is still doing the little mini cupcakes for the Reese's cupcake peanut butter cups for the board members, so you might get a little treat in the mail.
Okay.
Coming soon.
All right, moving on to item number 6, staggering of the board terms. In my brain, this was solved at the last meeting. Do we still have more to discuss here?
We do, because you had asked me to get legal input on the idea of, and you all had made motions to place our last two Harbor board members, giving them the opportunity to live out this year without accounting towards their term, starting them at the beginning of next school year, starting their terms then, so that they would be staggered from the other two that we had just placed. And I did check with Linda on that. She said that the bylaws that govern that are owned by the actual charter. In other words, they're not Springs Inc. bylaws. They would be Harbor Springs bylaws. So Harbor Springs is going to be the board that needs to make that motion and make that determination, or whatever board we're talking about, but in this case it's Harbor Springs. And she also suggested that we not have Harbor Springs take that action yet. And she gave me the example of when we ran into that situation on River Springs. River Springs took action the year that took place, and they actually had, at that time, River Springs did a lottery. There was going to be multiple members that were terming out. Some were completely terming out and had replacements. Others, I guess they were all terming out, but some were already unseated and had been replaced, and there were still a couple that were going to turn out at the same time. So River Springs took action and did a lottery between the two gentlemen to see which one would be able to stay on for one more year, and they took action that year, not in advance of it, but that year. And she suggested that we go ahead and wait until that comes up to have Harbor Springs take that action. She said, because you never know, people could resign, retire, move, whatever, and then you've gone through all of that for no purpose. So she did understand that we don't want four people terming out at the same time, but she felt like it's better to wait until that happens and then have that board take action. So that's the update on that.
That makes sense. Didn't we also have a question regarding the one board member that is seated by the district?
Yes, and that one was also where that board can make that determination. So Empire's, you guys are the ones who seat members. So I think actually on that one, I think I'll have to look back at my notes. I think she was saying that that one was action that you all could take to place that member. Of course, I have to get that approved also on the other end by Hellendale, and also, of course, by the member himself being willing to serve. But I think that's an action that we can take on an annual basis, just renewing his term.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because the difference in that one is they had us put, which is very typical, actually. It's actually shocking that only one of our charters has a district representative on the board. It is normally, that does normally happen. Very interesting, and that was a conversation, but he's also a good board member, so that's super helpful. And his grandchildren now attend Springs in the Venture Program, and he absolutely loves it. So it actually, in that case, worked out wonderfully, just so you guys know.
Made a convert.
Yes. So that's all I have on that. Just wanted to let you know.
Is there any more about the discussion of that, or is that
no.
Was it?
I was just wanting to give you that piece of information because as it stands right now, those two newest members on Harbor will not be seated in the same way that you guys made the motion for it. So I'm just publicly...
They're seated the exact same way as the last group that we did, so now we just have to make sure that we monitor that in a way that we communicate with that board that they can make their own action down the road if they need to make their own action to stagger their own seats.
Correct.
Which is super weird because now you're asking someone to vote on their own term. But
well, and yes, and again, in the case of River, and this example was provided to me by Linda. I mean, I was there, but she reminded me that when that happened with River, it was a lottery. But both of those two gentlemen were both willing to serve yet another year, and to determine which one, we literally Linda drew names out of a hat for us to pick which one it was. So we would have to come up with something like that if there were multiple people wanting to extend it by a year.
Got it. All right, then we're going to move on to item 7, which is the annual board training.
Yes. So as you know, we usually do this fun training that, you know, is just enthralling, I know, every year at Pechanga. And we didn't have Pechanga, but unfortunately that does not mean that we don't have to go through this. I'm not going to go through it slide by slide or line by line because you guys are very, very experienced board members who could just as easily go through this in your sleep, I'm sure. So I do want to let you know that the one change, the one thing that is somewhat different is SB 126, and that went into effect the beginning of the year. And that affected your board more than anybody else in terms of how we have to make your meetings available to our student centers and so forth. Right now, we happen to be on the Safer at Home. So as you know, everybody's just doing their meetings at their home. So it's not a public... it is a public meeting, but it's not held in a public place. We're doing all of the things. However, when we do go back to the centers, your meetings will have to be available to the public at every one of your student centers. So since you are not affiliated with River Springs, we don't have to set you up at the River Springs sites. But all of your other student centers, so Rancho Cucamonga, Otay Ranch, Vista Springs, all of those centers, the meeting is going to have to be, parents are going to be able to come to that student center and access your meeting. So that is one.
Basically, we'll have it'll just be like this, right? It'll be mm-hmm. a tile like this. So, you know, one of them will say Santa Ana Student Center, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes.
For the most part, they're probably going to be empty rooms, except for, you know, every once in a while we'll have a parent or teacher or student or someone show up.
So yes and no. Yes to it could be like that. It may not even be that official because the law only requires teleconferencing. In other words, it doesn't have to be video. So just having a speaker line available is a potential as well at some of our sites. So they may choose, you know, that principal may choose to get on the Hangout or they may choose to just be available to access it by phone. And originally, we were under the understanding before the lockdown that we had to do this for all of our charters. We've since learned that we only have to do it when a specific charter, which I understand you guys are not a charter, but nonetheless, you oversee programs in multiple counties. So my River Springs programs don't have to do that because it's one county and on. So when we were originally doing it, we were literally having every single principal log in by phone, set up a room that was available for parents to come sit in and to participate in the meeting. And later I learned two things. First of all, I learned I didn't have to do that if it was the same county, so now we don't do it at all for them. But secondly, I also learned that in the events such as yourselves that we do it, we don't have to actually engage that phone line unless or until a parent or a member of the public is wanting to participate. So there's no need to have an empty, open phone line going that nobody is wanting to call into or listen into. So it's probably all for nothing, because the likelihood of parents actually wanting to drive to the site to sit there and listen to the meeting by phone or even by Hangout is slim, but I am letting you know that it is a potential and a possibility and something that we will have to comply with when we're back in session, if all of that makes sense. So that was one thing that's a little bit different for you guys in terms of that. The other
just a question.
Yeah, sure.
Natalie, if we do, I mean, in the rare circumstances somebody actually does want to come, would they announce that they are there so we do know they're on the line, or is that just
so
we need to assume that there's always going to be somebody there in case there is?
Well, we do need to assume that there's always somebody in some regard, but at the same time, we also... I've asked the principals, again, we had done this maybe three or four times before the lockdown, and again, before I learned that my singular county places didn't need to, and we just asked those principals to be sure to let me know if they had a parent that was wanting to make a comment or something so that we could at least acknowledge them and call on them to do so. So I would still be communicating with my principals, hey, let us know if you have parents, you know, with you or whatever, and encourage them that if they wanted to make a comment to let me know. Another piece that does a little bit affect you guys, I think each of you will probably be familiar with previously having to fill out the Form 700, the conflict of interest forms. And through this SB 126, boards such as yourself now have to have their own COI code, their own conflict of interest code. The difference with you guys and my regular schools is that since you are multi-jurisdictional, there's not a singular county for me to file your paperwork with. So Form 700s get filed through the County Board of Supervisors for each county that we're talking about. But there is not one specific county that you all are accountable to. So therefore, your forms have to be filed through the FPPC, the Fair Political Practices Commission. They have to approve our COI code. We have to write a code. All of the other schools have this. We have to write a COI code. We have to get it approved by that governing body. The FPPC is so backed up that they have not even opened. They've acknowledged that they've received the request, but they haven't even opened it to look at it. So when they do look at it, get back to me and let me know that it's approved, then I will have to start getting Form 700s from you guys on an annual basis. The first one will be to say assuming office, and I've been told to put that you assumed office January 1st of 2020. Not that that's when you did, but that's because when the law for you to have to do this thing went into place. So you'll do it twice. Actually, you'll do the assuming office one, and then forms are due annually in April, like April 2nd. So, you know, before April, I would be sending you forms again to have you do the annual form. Are there any questions about that? We can go over it when I actually have the forms. At this point in time, I can't even have you fill them out because I don't have an approved code to assign it to.
Okay. I don't have any questions. We've all filled out. I mean, I filled out these forms a number of times.
Right.
So.
None of you have done it in terms of your Spring Zinc role, but I knew that you were all familiar with it, but I wanted to let you know when I do contact you and ask you to fill it out that that's why, because that's going to be a new requirement for you guys. Okay? The other things are pretty much found in your slides, and again, the things that you guys already know. You're very familiar with the Brown Act. You know what constitutes a board meeting. You know that if there's a quorum of you at a function, that since that's not an agendized meeting, you can't discuss board business or else you are in violation of the Brown Act. You guys already know all of these things. I do the meeting notices for you to be compliant with that, the 72 hours for a regular meeting, 24 hours for a special call. So we're already in compliance with that. All of these things that came down through SB 126 were requiring charter schools to comply with things that we were already doing. And again, the schools were already in compliance, and now we're just adding in the pieces for you guys that apply to you guys. But there was a disagreement amongst some charter schools as to whether or not those laws applied to them, like the Public Records Act requests, the filling out of the Form 700, the conflict of interest things. GC 1090, you guys will remember that because that's why we had to ask Fondella to step down off of Springs Inc. That's why the Chans are not involved on any of our boards. It's that conflict of interest, the interested party piece that we are compliant with. So we were already compliant with all those things, but SB 126 summarized it and said charter schools must. We already were doing them, but charter schools must comply with these. And again, now that includes you guys. So that's the update on the training, unless you have any other questions. Linda put together the slides that are in your thing. You've seen those before. So if you have any questions, let me know.
Luckily, we were ahead of the curve on this, and Natalie has kept us ahead of the curve. Huge shout out to her, because this was a really big change for some charters, and but Natalie already had us all on the right track. So just want to let you guys know, this has taken over some charter board meetings pretty significantly with all these new things, but it's just kind of what how we've always done business. So pretty lucky that we could just stand over this with the training.
I think we are all in agreement that you guys as staff, every single one of you, have always been on the ball, ahead of the curve. Just like my husband looks at a job and foresees a situation and avoids it before it gets there, your entire staff has done that, and we are grateful as board members that you do that for us and bring it to us before it's coming down the line so we have some time to think about it and consider. So you guys are great and amazing, and we really appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much.
I remember back in the day when Kyla was Kathleen's assistant, and Kyla was, I thought she was pretty amazing at her job, and she had one board, and Natalie has 37,000 boards, and a tremendous, you know, in a very anti-charter environment in the state of California now. Weird that we are there 10 years later. This is weird for me to say, I don't know how to say it, but I thought that, you know, losing Kyla was a huge loss, and I think that, like, Natalie has been, like, exceeded expectation like crazy. She's done a phenomenal job.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that very much. Thank you. When I applied for the job, I didn't know it was going to be this many boards, but, you know, I love it, so it's worked out. And during the interview, I was like, you have how many boards? What? I was used to doing it for one board, so.
Yeah. I don't think that any of us thought there were going to be this many boards.
33 board members, you know. I mean, give or take. So.
I remember Judy Adair, when this was supposed to be four meetings.
I was
going to
say that.
Six hours a year, right?
People were promised four meetings.
I remember, Kathleen was razzed about that. That's how she got all of you on. It's only four meetings a year. They only last an hour. Next thing we know, it's, you know, eight meetings a year lasting two or three hours. And I'm like, Kathleen, but yeah, I love that you guys asked her about that. But, you know, here we are, right? We used to have four-member boards with no problem and not even worry about it. You know, new day.
Back in those days, it had to be four board members in an hour because there was no stipend, there was no nothing back in those days. It was just like, you know, out of the goodness of your heart that you came, right? And so, you know, it's crazy to me that we now have, you know, a fairly large stipend, and some of these boards get paid every month. Like, yeah, like there should be a line of people, like. There is. Trying to be on our boards.
That's why you had to review 33 packets. There's a line now. You had to review so many applications this time.
I'm still going to say that, like, 50% of them, I'm not going to say any more than that. I'm just going to say 50%, and it's not because we are on a recorded line. anyone else, Tisa? Did your microphone work today, or are we on mute, or... I'm
speaking up when I need to.
I hadn't heard from you all day today. Do you have any other questions about the board training? Then let's move on to item number 8, which is to approve the budget.
It's now just an information item for you.
Information item.
Oh, yeah. The information
item. I had to take Friday off after, you know, losing power and everything. Life had gotten a little muddy around Prodrat's household. So you don't have an executive summary, but thank you to Natalie for getting this from Tanya, who is your volunteer bookkeeper. I know it looks like you're in the red, but you are not. What we are doing is, because the schools are on such a tight budget, we are spending, of course, far less money than any other year because we don't have the chandra. So right there, that was about a $220,000 savings, because all we did, you know, we did the speaker and we did the nice boxes and things for people, but of course without the rooms and food and all that. So you guys are running really, really on the cheap this year. Just no more professional way to say it. And you are negative because you guys had a cash balance from previous years. But nonprofit accounting is slightly different than the school accounting you're used to seeing on the school boards. So there's no beginning balance shown. But you guys did have all that money. It's not a lot, but you guys had some money in the bank. So we are drilling through that money that you kind of had in savings, so to speak, and using that, and then we will start charging the charters the most minimal amount we can possibly charge them to get through the rest of the year, you know, as our way of saving, you know, saving some money too. When we were doing the cuts, I went through the entire Spring Zine budget and resubmitted it to Tanya to show her how much money we could save, because of course the schools didn't need to pay, you know, $80 per ADA this year because we weren't supplying the staff development. You know, on top of that, PLCs are virtual, so we're not having to buy lunch and rent rooms and everything. So on your behalf, as your treasurer, I guess I would be, I don't know what I'd be called, your budget guru, your little CEO here, I went through and cut down your budget to what I reasonably thought it would be, and Tanya thought we could make it another couple months without using any more cash. So we're getting you guys nice and low, but you don't need a reserve, and we don't want you to have a reserve. We want you to be able to do as much for the schools as you possibly can for the least amount of money. So it's still extremely helpful, obviously, to have this board and to have you guys, because you know, economy of scales, right? We can buy things in such huge bulk when we do it for the entire network, like we do through you guys, saving a ton of money doing that instead of buying, you know, this for Vista and this for Harbor, especially when it comes to professional development of, I don't know, we're 980 staff members now without subs and temps. We're about 1,200 with subs and temps. So it's a significant cost savings to have you guys networking like that. Any questions?
I don't have a question. The only question I was going to ask was, if we had a surplus, can we give it back to the schools so that we don't lay people off? But you kind of answered that.
Yeah, we're going through your surplus this year, so that's how we're going to do it. Is we're going to dwindle down your surplus. So same thing, right? 601 half does the other, so that they're not paying in anymore unless they absolutely have to.
Sweet. Any other questions? Then it's time for some board comments.
I just wanted to say thank you to everybody, because I know, you know, updating us is a small part of your job, but you guys have done a tremendous amount of work keeping everything going. I know you have plan A, B, C, D, E, F, out 1,000 times, so you're never surprised by anything, it seems like. I'm sure you are, but it doesn't seem like it. And you guys do an amazing job, so I just want to say thank you and, you know, keep up the good work.
Thank you so much. I do want to comment that we did not have any foresight that this was going to be a year-long situation. So, yes, plans have changed rapidly. And, you know, I want to tell you guys, when you see, you know, the principals or an ES or anyone, you know, it's a rough road right now. And I really appreciate that comment. And, yes, we do have multiple plans, obviously. But I don't know that anybody planned for this one. So we're reinventing ourselves, right? Just like you guys are with your own jobs, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and I just want to echo that, Amy. I mean, you guys have always been just an example, not just in California, but throughout the nation, and I'm just so proud of everything that the school has accomplished, so thank you. And Natalie, thank you. I'm glad Tim said what he said, because you have been amazing, so it's like herding cats sometimes, but you do it well, so.
Thank you.
I had a question, and just I'm old, I forgot. We were having a conversation about filling our fifth spot. Are we?
Oh, I apologize. I was supposed to talk to you about that, so thank you for bringing that up. Kathleen is suggesting that you all consider Kathy Hansen. I have not yet reached out to Kathy to find out about her interest, because I needed to speak with you all first to see if that is an avenue that you would like to go. Obviously, the nature of Springs Inc. is that we need to, if you're wanting a fifth person, we need to be sure that it's someone who is familiar with the organization, and so therefore opening it up for like an application process, a random application process, would be a little bit challenging. So thanks again, Beth, for bringing that up. If we could have a discussion about that during board comment time here, about your thoughts on how you would like to broach that. Or if you would, if you prefer to remain a board of four, which, you know, obviously.
Do you remember who Kathy Hansen is, or do you need a little reminder?
I remember who she is. Is she retired now from the school? Is that why this would be more of a possibility?
She's retired. She has no family working at the school. She used to. You know, she springs through and through, understands the school. She ran the college and career program for Keys. That was one of the people that talked to Natalie. I think it was Kathleen's mind, right?
Yes.
That would be really good, kind of a really nice third-party person to add to this board. But, of course, totally up to you guys.
Yeah, I think so. Like, the way that, I mean, I don't remember what our rules are. I think that what you said was we don't have to, like, post that there's a board opening, or do we? Because if we don't, I'm down to just, you know, have this board come up with a couple of names, or Kathleen, or Amy, or Linda, or anyone that knows anyone, you know, around that's no longer, you know, in one of, I mean, we should have a group of at least 3 or 4 people, and then, you know, just kind of talk our way through and then figure out who to put that on there. I know that we don't, I think you'd have to go back a really long ways to find a 3-2 vote for something. I think that we are, and Pam, Tisa, Beth can jump in and chime in and say, and you know, give their 2 cents, but I feel like we're a good group of, if it's 3-1, we continue to talk to get to consensus instead of just like, we're just going to have a contentious 3-1 vote, because that's just, you know, because whatever, I don't like Tisa's person, whatever, like, that's not what we do. So, like, I'm okay with it being 4, but, you know, an odd number, obviously, from the outside looks better. So, yeah, I think that, you know, we should just continue to, I guess what I'd say is I'm in no rush. Like, Kathy Hansen is a phenomenal lady. I love her. I mean, obviously, probably known her for 15 years. So, I think that she would probably be a good fit. I guess I can go either way, but I'm in no rush to fill that fifth seat. More had a sense of urgency of filling seats on school boards for me than worrying so much about a vacancy here, considering the fact that we've got time to fill that vacancy, and we have, you know, big 5-month gaps between meetings now. Like, we've had a lot of meetings in the last couple of months, but that's irregular for what we do. So I guess that's my 2 cents, or 30 seconds. I spoke forever.
Natalie, I was trying to remember about term limits. Do we have term limits?
You do not have term limits. Every 6 years, you need to be, like, reappointed or whatever, but there's no expiration on your terms.
So, in the climate that we're in, I'm kind of leaning with what Tim said, too, about, you know, filling those other boards is much more a priority right now. And fiscally, right now, too, if we don't need to, it's probably a better choice to not rush into it. I also, Tim, I like your idea of, you know, maybe having a pool of names to pick from or something versus just one. I think that's probably a little more prudent, I should say. That's my 2 cents.
I have to agree as well. I do like Kathy. I've known her, obviously, of a long time. Jen just stepped down, so we haven't had a lot of time to really think about who would be the best fit. And since here for the long term, I'd like to have a little more time to think it over, again, come up with maybe, you know, some other options as well. So we want the best fit. We just don't want to fill the chair. So I think more time, and again, we don't meet for another few months, so it gives us time to kind of think it through.
Yeah, I would say that's great. That name just kind of popped in, so you guys can work with Natalie, you know, give her any names that you guys think of and figure out. I would say, you know, from the staff position, we always like the full boards, but also from the staff position also, completely agree that it's not something that anybody's, you know, in a hurry for. We could definitely handle it, you know, maybe the end of this year to seat them the beginning of next year. So they're being on the board for Pechanga is really, you know, a good thing because people can, you know, kind of get to know the other board members and all that. But I'd say from staff, yeah, we're definitely just grateful that the school boards are full, and I'm really happy to hear that that was your guys' priority because that is we totally agree. That is number one.
All right. Any other comments? Sounds like not. I can take a motion to adjourn this meeting. Wait. I do want to say have a Merry Christmas, everybody.
You too.
I will take a motion for adjournment.
I move we adjourn.
I will second.
Tisa was right. She speaks when it's important.
All right, guys, you're adjourned at 4:01.